The following presentation is brought to you by the Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to a remarkable photographer, Deborah Feingold. She just published a collection of work that previously appeared in Musician, Rolling Stone, and even Star Hits. It's simply called Music. Stick around. If today's interview is not in focus, you know Deborah is not to blame. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you preferred to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of Madonna wannabes who can study Deborah Feingold's iconic lollipop photo of the pop princess for hours and never quite be able to duplicate that look in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Here's a story I don't think I've told before. Many years ago, I had an idea to approach Paul Schaefer about helping him write his memoirs. My agent tracked down the band leader of The Late Show with David Letterman's agent, who ran the idea by Paul, and pretty quick, we were on a four-way conference call. Paul was very excited about the idea, and when we got off the phone, he said he wanted to meet the following week. Great, I said. Terrific, my agent said. So the next day, my agent called Paul's manager to make the arrangements for me to fly to New York City. Fly? The man said. Turned out they assumed I lived in the city. That's what you call a deal breaker. I did not write that book. Now, I was reminded of that story the first time I thumbed through Deborah Feingold's new collection of photographs, Music, when I saw a 1987 shot of Paul lounging in front of, seriously now, a place called Paul's Lounge. And later, exploring Deborah's website, I saw that she also shot the cover for We'll Be Here for the Rest of Our Lives, a swingin' showbiz saga that Paul eventually wrote with David Ritz. Now, both are wonderful shots. Like most everything else Deborah does, pick up her book and you'll instantly recognize countless images from Madonna and Lollipop to barefoot Keith Richards, as well as from big-jacketed David Byrne to Kid Creole and the Coconuts. Now, if you're not a music fan, you probably know a certain book cover Deborah shot, featuring a future leader of the free world. It was called The Audacity of Hope, and the author was a little-known guy named Barack Obama. Deborah Feingold, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
So glad to have you. It's nice to see you in front of the camera. I know that doesn't happen too often with people in your line of business.
Correct.
And simple one-word answers are good, too.
Okay. It gets lengthier, I assure you.
I'm sure. Well, so tell us about Music. How did organizing this particular collection come about? And, you know, what are some of the highlights in the book for you?
Well, I think the biggest highlight is that I actually did it. Which I don't think until the last few years I ever really thought that I don't even think people would say you should do a book, but I didn't see it. I didn't get it. I just kept working. It wasn't until maybe 2 years ago that an assistant I was working with, who also shoots music, Matt McGinley, we were discussing the book, because at that point I was thinking of just including all of the iconic figures that I'd shot over the years. And he said, no, the book you need to do is just your musicians, because you were there at the beginning of a lot of people's careers in contemporary music. And you've got stuff that other people don't have, and you've got stories that other people don't have. And I thought about it for about a minute, and I said, you're absolutely right. So that's how it came about.
I'm always fascinated. I love having photographers on the show, as well as comedians for that matter, because the perspective is very different from, let's say, a musician or an author. You're seeing the world through the lens, and you're looking for something particular. And in the images in music in your book, I'm reminded of a lot of things from my own history and things that I remember from the magazines or just from that era. And it's interesting that you have to be convinced sometimes that, oh, that's a book, huh?
Yeah, I mean, as much, I'm a photographer, but I'm also a working girl. So, I kept my focus on working, but now that I'm older,
okay,
and perhaps a bit more reflective, it didn't take much to convince me that, yes, in fact, there is something there. And I have always been, well, I would say to you, modest, but that's sort of like kind of an empty word. I think I was more insecure than I was modest. Hmm. And not anymore. I'm a big shot now. Boy, a little bit of confidence can go really deep in strange places.
Wow. How would you have done if you had had that confidence? How would that have affected you 20, 25 years ago, do you think?
I can't go there, because I was who I was, and all your experience makes you who you are, and those experiences just kept building and building. And with age and having a daughter and, experience, I was also homeschooled, if you will. I never studied photography. I taught myself. And I think there was some, I don't know if the word would be insecurity in that, but it wasn't like I had a testing ground while I was at school. So it just took a while for it all to catch up with me, sort of emotionally and intellectually, and it's all caught up now.
I've talked to a lot of rock photographers from the same era that you've worked. Bob Gruen, for example, and now I'm going to draw a blank, but several people from that era. And it's interesting, because that was a time coming up, I'll see if you agree, when you could kind of talk your way into a place and take pictures, as I think you have a story about Prince, for example, it doesn't really exist that way. And the expectation today of a young photographer – that's okay. Just ignore it. The expectation of a young photographer today is not the same. They're expected to have all kinds of work. They're expected to have all sorts of technical expertise that, maybe you didn't have when you started.
It is so embarrassing.
It's okay. We all have phones.
And she'll keep calling unless I tell her.
You want to just tell her? Go ahead.
I'm going to just tell her.
Okay.
I'm going to text her that I'm on an interview, and I'm going to apologize. But I have been a single mom, and I'm just going to tell her. Sweetie, I'm on Skype on an interview, and now you're on too, so I'm going to hang up now, okay? And I'll talk to you in about an hour. Okay, bye-bye. Bye. you know, I'm a single mom. I've got a daughter. It's a connection that
I
completely
understand. We got a Snapchat from my daughter at 5:30 this morning.
No.
She's a freshman at college.
Okay.
And someone pulled the fire alarm at 5:30, and they all had to leave the building. And then at 5:50, when they were all back in the room, someone pulled it again. So yeah. I get it completely. I understand how that is.
Okay. She won't call again.
How old is your daughter?
Well, old enough that she's 22.
Okay.
But she's on a new adventure. She started graduate school last week and just kind of getting organized. Okay, enough of that.
Okay.
First of all, I want to I remember everything you said, and I'll even add more to that.
Okay.
It's always hard to say, was it a different time? Because that's what old people say. And while I've been discussing this book, I've had to be really careful not to sound like an old person, like, how has digital affected your life? Everybody is a photographer now. What is that like for you? Okay. So that's in every interview.
Yeah.
But it was special. But I want to say something. We knew it was special. We knew because we saw it changing as well. We knew because restrictions midway through were starting to occur with record companies. We were a smaller group. Now, in my case, perhaps a little differently than Bob Gruen's, I wasn't hanging out with people. I was working for Musician Magazine when the engine started moving. And Musician Magazine was exciting, as you may or may not know, because at that time you had Cream, you had Circus, you had Rolling Stone, you had Downbeat. But you didn't have somebody who was doing all of that, plus throw in some new age and world music. So I had the best job on the planet. I wasn't following one group of people and hanging out and going to the clubs. I was all over the place. And so my experience was a little different. Plus, it wasn't just street shooting, you know? I mean, I was shooting. The weirder my stuff was, the more support I got. I mean, I say weird, but you can see in some of the photos, you might go, what? But I had a lot of support in expressing my vision, which was